So last week we went into the technicalities of a fridge, how it works, what effect it has for Shabbos, what we can do, what we can't do. So let's sum up and then see what we can get practically out of it. Basically speaking, an old fashioned fridge, I told my fridges from more than 15 or 20 years ago. Those fridges, there's basically only two problems. One is the light and one is the thermostat for the compressor. The light, everybody agrees, is a problem. You've got to switch it off before Shabbos. And if you didn't, we'll discuss that. The compressor is a three-way machlokas. The Shlomo Zalman says that it's a groma, and therefore if you open the fridge and warm air goes in and then affects the thermostat, which then will then turn on the compressor, it's a delayed reaction. It doesn't happen right away. Therefore, there's nothing to worry about. Other poskim hold that you should only open the fridge when the motor is running, and the Chazon Ish was machmir never to open the fridge on Shabbos. B'di'evad, if someone didn't, so then he would allow it, but otherwise he wouldn't allow it. So that was the three ways we put it, and basically ask a rabbi and he'll give you a psak which way to go. I mean, depending on which book you look in, if you look in Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, he says like Rav Shlomo Zalman without thinking twice. And if you look in Rabbi Karp or Rabbi Reuben, they bring the Minhag Olam is like the middle way. So I'm not even sure what most people do. So therefore I say, if that's your situation, ask your Rav and he'll give you a psak, whether you can open the fridge when it's not running or not. The Chazon Ish is pretty much a vayta chumra. Very, very few people are machmir on the Chazon Ish that even when the engine's running, they don't open. But that's the basics on an old-fashioned fridge. Now, those fridges aren't very common anymore. Today, we have digital fridges, and they have all sorts of gadgets and extra features and functions. And basically, there's always something that's running and something that's going. So even if the compressor's off, but there's the light, there's the fan, there's the thermostat, which is now digitalized and therefore much more sensitive. In fact, in a lot of modern fridges where you have inverter motors, so you have much more, in some ways you have more of a problem, some ways you have less of a problem. Maybe I didn't mention this last week. I'll take a few minutes off to explain the technology of inverters so we can see what the repercussions are for Shabbos. That is, the way common appliances worked was that when you switched it on, they went into action, whether that being a fridge or a stove or a air conditioner or anything like that, that either cooled or heated, it went into action. It had a thermostat. When it hit the desired temperature, then the action stopped and it went dead until the thermostat changed back to the undesired temperature, and then it kicked in again. So that would be a story with a stove also in an oven. So there's a discussion of whether you can open or close an oven or not on Shabbos. Well, we're talking about fridges. So fridges and air conditioners work with a compressor. The compressor cools, does the cooling. So when it's too warm, the compressor goes in. When it hits the desired temperature, the compressor switches off. End of story. Came along a scientist, and he decided, and he did testing, and he found that instead of turning on, off, and you have a fluctuation of a degree or two, gets colder, gets warmer, gets colder, gets warmer, why don't you rather fluctuate the strength of the motor? The motor works at full power, the motor works at low power. When there's a big discrepancy between the existing temperature and the desired temperature, for example, it's 25 degrees in your house and you want it to be 21 degrees, That's considered a big discrepancy. So then your air conditioner will go into full power mode until it brings the temperature close to the desired temperature. And then it slowly, slowly stops dropping power and works on a lower power till eventually when you reach the desired temperature, so then the motor works very minimally, but it doesn't go off. It stays on all the time and works at a very low setting and therefore keeps the temperature constant. You avoid this fluctuation of hot, cold, hot, cold. And second of all, apparently it is a lot cheaper on energy to retain something at its temperature rather than to let it warm up and cool it off again. As far as I know, those are the two main issues with the two main points that were added with the inverted machine, and therefore they become much more popular now because of the fact that they save a lot of energy. And so in air conditioners, they're a lot more expensive, so therefore not everybody gets them. You can find out whether you have one or not. But in fridges, it's become more and more common. And that means that the motor basically runs 24/7. So according to the opinion that you can open the fridge when the motor's running, it should really, from that point of view, shouldn't be a problem because the motor's running already. But on the other hand, because it has a very sensitive thermostat, so when you open the fridge and warm air comes in, the power on the motor increases and it just works a little bit harder until you close the door, until the temperature has settled. So the question is whether you're causing something to use more power on Shabbos is a problem or not. So again, you've got a major machlokes over here. Even in Chazon Ish's opinion, there's a machlokes what the Chazon Ish holds. So some say that it's no good because you're causing more power to be consumed and therefore that would be more of a problem. And some say no, if the whole issue of electricity is a flow of electrons, you're making boine, so what does it make a difference if you have a large flow or a small flow? It's not really, you're just changing the amount of current running through, but you're not creating something new. There's no moile, there's no boine. So it would come out that according to those opinions, inverter air conditioners actually would be preferable to other air conditioners because they're on all the time and you coming in and out of the room is not good, even though it affects the thermostat, but it doesn't make the machine go off or go on. It's on already, and if anything, it just works a little harder. So some say it's actually better and some say it's worse. The air conditioning machines in the Groschel, just by the way, are inverter machines, and the Rav has no problem with that. From what I understand, it was discussed with him. In the old shul, we had an inverter machine. In the new shul, everything's inverter machines, and the Rav doesn't have a problem with that. And so it seems like he's going with that opinion that once it's running, it's running. However, even though you have these type of fridges that they run more than they don't run, etc., but the modern fridges have all sorts of gadgets that we spoke about, various sensors and digital displays, and they show that the display goes on, goes off, it shows the temperature, you open the door and it changes. So these are all the things that a person has to take into account. So in modern day fridges, there's basically, we said there's very little, we gave three options. A was the simplest, was to disable the door switch. If you disable the door switch, so then the computer doesn't know when you've opened the door and therefore cannot add that to its count of how much warm air is coming in. The light does not go on, etc. The fan doesn't go off. The question is if you're having an effect on the thermostat. So that we said is a shaila bifnei atzmo. Maybe you should still be. That depends on whether you're machmir to open the fridge when the motor's running or not. So that's one way, is to deactivate the door switch. So then all your sensors are won't work. That can either be done if you have a manual switch. You just depress it. They build fridges today with a hechsher machon tzomet, where they've just put a little latch over the switch that you can put the latch on for Shabbos and take it off after Shabbos. That's one way. Another way is to have Mishmeres HaShabbos or Rav Halperin put into your fridge, and then you just put it into Shabbos mode, or even better, they have built-in a calendar and it goes into Shabbos mode automatically. Just as an interesting aside, the Israeli fridges are built according to the Israeli calendar. What's the difference? Is Yom Tov Sheni. In Israel, we don't have Yom Tov Sheni, and therefore, your fridge goes onto Yom Tov mode, Erev Yom Tov, and Motzi Yom Tov Rishon, it goes back onto weekday mode, unless it has Sfiyah Shabbos, and it knows that and goes stays on for Shabbos. My brother had an interesting situation. His father-in-law came to visit him for Yom Tov, and his father-in-law lives in Chutz Laaretz, therefore he keeps 2 days Yom Tov. And he was staying in an apartment which had a fancy fridge which had the modern Mishmeres HaShabbos program in it, that it automatically went on to Shabbos mode before Shabbos and before Yom Tov and off afterwards. It couldn't be manually activated. The problem was he was keeping 2 days Yom Tov, and the fridge went back on to weekday mode for the second day of Yom Tov. So here you've got a bit of a problem. After all that, you know, you make it automatic and everything wonderful on this, but you got to think about it, that you have a, he had a problem over here. So he actually called the Mishmeres HaShabbos and they gave him instructions on how to override the computer system and to manually activate it for in advance for all 2 days of Yom Tov. But otherwise that, unless you got a scenario like that, that would be a nice, solution is you have a Mishmeres HaShabbos built in, and that will take care of it. Now, what happens if you don't have that option? You're either living in a place in the world where they don't offer it, or you just don't have it. So the one way to do it is what the Poskim write, is you connect your fridge to a time switch, and you have fixed times during the day where the power gets cut out. And once the power gets cut out, then nothing happens. You're not affecting anything. You're not turning on lights. You're not affecting your thermostats. You're not affecting. That would be the simplest. With the one exception is if your fridge happens to have a backup system, that when the power's off, it still stays on. So on some sort of backup system. So you'd have to test it before Shabbos and see what happens when the power goes out, if the fridge totally goes off. I have not personally come across any fridge with a power backup, but I saw the Poskim writer to be aware of it. So those are the three answers that we gave on how to deal with fridges in our day and age. Now comes the big question, and that is, what happens if you didn't set it onto Shabbos mode, you didn't do whatever you need to do to prepare it for Shabbos? So first of all, we'll mention, what happens if you're not sure? You have no way of telling from the outside of the fridge whether it's on Shabbos mode or not, whether you've taped over, remember to tape over the switch, or whether you've activated it, whatever the case may be. You have no way of seeing from the outside, and you just don't know. You don't know, either because you don't remember, or because you ask someone else to do it and they're not available to ask. Whatever the case may be, you got a suffix. And therefore, we paskin that in a case of a suffix, because you're dealing with a suffix d'oraisa, because it could be that what opening the fridge would be an issur d'oraisa, we're going to say you've got to be machmir, you've got to treat it as if it is still on. And until you verify that it's off, you have to consider that it is still on weekday mode. That's number one. Number two is what to do if you know that it is on. So obviously you cannot open the fridge and let the light go on. You can't open the fridge and cause the fan to stop and the motor to work and the heating element from the no frost, etc. All that is problematic. So what do you do if your stuff is in the fridge? So the simplest answer is to get hold of a goy. And even then, you have to know what the situation is, because Amira Le'akum is not just a heter, well, I'll tell a goy and I can do it whatever I want. Amir le'akum remains a isur derabonon. Whatever is asur, minatayra is asur to tell a goy to do for you, midirabonon. Something that's asur midirabonon, so to tell a goy to do it is a double derabonon, it's shvus to shvus. And the way we paskin is that a one derabonon is asur, except in the case of That means someone who is seriously ill, but not yet in a life-threatening, or not without the yet, in a life-threatening situation where, of course, anybody can do any malacha to save a life. But if a person is seriously ill, we call it cholik al gufo. Either he cannot get out of bed, or he's got pain all across his whole body, or there is a danger to a particular limb. In other words, not a danger to his life, but a danger to the limb. So then you can ask a goy to do even a doraisa. But otherwise, we don't ask a goy to do anything. The one exception is there's a shita of the Bala Itur who holds that you can ask a goy to do something for Mokum Mitzvah. We do not paskin that unless it is tzarech rabim, unless there's an extreme need. For example, you have let us give an example of an old aged home that has an air conditioning system, and the air conditioning system went off. Why do I bring an old aged home? Because I'm talking about people who are much more sensitive, and or actually for that case, the way we pass in is hakol cholim et latina, if it's extremely cold, and we say that everybody is considered sick when it comes to cold. So then you can get a goy to turn on the heat or turn on the air conditioning, depending on the situation. Kedai to ask a Rav beforehand whether it's considered a big enough need in order to do a Amir al-Akum, which is a single Durabonon. But if you have a double Durabonon, so then we make it if it's B'makom Mitzvah. So if you can prove that opening your fridge is a Durabonon, so then you could say that Amir al-Akum is a shvus de shvus, is a double de rabbonon. It's a rabbonon to tell a goy, and what he's doing is the de rabbonon. So then, b'moka mitzvah, what would be the mitzvah? Is you don't have food for Shabbos. If you don't have other food than what's in your fridge, and you can't get hold of other food, the shaila is whether if you can go to your neighbors and borrow, whether that's considered as not having. Most times we pass them that the fact that your neighbor has doesn't mean that it's available to you, but rather we look at your situation. And if you don't have anything else, so then in the Hanami you can get a goy to do it for you. So the simplest is to get a goy, but again, it's not simple to get a goy. It's only just the simplest of all the complicated solutions, but it's not simple. The other way to do it, if you don't have this heta of a shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah, because you're unsure whether you're dealing with the Doraisa or the Rabbanan in your fridge, and the Kontos Samshit is the Doraisa over here. So then, there's two other ways to get around it. One is that when you bring the goy, you tell him to help himself from something in the fridge. When a goy does something for himself, then we're allowed to benefit from the result of what he's done. When you ask a goy to wash your dishes, there's nothing wrong with asking a goy to wash your dishes, because you can always ask a goy to do something you can do. So if you can wash your dishes, you can ask a goy to wash your dishes. So you ask a goy to wash your dishes, and your goy doesn't like working in the dark, and it happens to be that your kitchen's in the dark. So obviously, if it is pitch black and he couldn't wash it, so then you force him, so then it will be a shayla b'shnei atzma. I'm not going to get into that. But we're talking about where there is enough light to wash, but he's uncomfortable. And he goes and he turns on the light in the kitchen. You may go wash dishes in the sink next to him and enjoy the fact that he's turned on the light. Why? Because he did it for himself. Once we're certain what a goy did for himself, then we're allowed to have hanah from that melacha. If you're in a hotel, for example, and there's a room that's dark, and you want to go and sit in that room and have the light on, so the simplest would be to convince a goy to go in for his own sake. So if you're sitting there and someone walks past, he looks inside, he says, oh, this guy's sitting in the dark, and he flicks the switch, you know that he's done it for you. You got to get up and go out. But if he came into the room and he looked and he saw Goyim sitting there and he turned on the light, so then afterwards you can go in and have an off from it. Or you're walking in the street and you're freezing cold, and you see a tavern, and they've got a nice big warm fire inside, so I'm not discussing whether you can go into a tavern or a bar or those type of things. But you go, you find a lobby somewhere, a hotel lobby that has a nice fire burning. You could go and stand next to the fire and warm up, because that fire wasn't lit for you, it was lit for goyim. So One way to do it would be to get the guy to come to your house and offer him something. You know, you tell him you have a nice bottle of Coca-Cola in the fridge. He should help himself to a cup of Coca-Cola. At that moment, he then opens the fridge, takes the Coca-Cola out. You can then leave the fridge open. There is another issue to take into account, that once the fridge is open, you can't close it. Because if you close it, you're extinguishing the light, and that's also a problem. So therefore, what one should do is one should put a towel over the door of the fridge so that it doesn't close all the way, so that the light doesn't go out. It's an interesting discussion when you have a spring-mounted switch. For example, your doorbell. Your doorbell, you press the button, two contacts join. The bell rings and just keeps on ringing so long as you're holding the switch. And there are different types, but let us say the standard old-fashioned electrical bell is you press the button and the bell will ring so long as you hold the button. As soon as you let go, the bell will stop ringing. Now, you didn't switch off the bell. You're just removing a monea, something that's hindering it from going back into its own position. Another example of that would be if you have a draft blowing into your living room and the draft is blowing into your fireplace and fanning up the fire, can you close the window? And we ask them that you can close the window as long as it won't extinguish the fire, which usually we're talking about a fireplace, it won't. As long as it won't extinguish the fire, you can close the window. Aye, the fire is going to go down. So the way we say it is that you're not actively doing a kibui. What you're doing is you're removing the catalyst that makes it glow stronger. You're removing that. You're removing you're only doing a negative thing by taking something else away. And therefore, if the fire then goes down because of the fact that there's no longer a draft, that's not a problem, because what you did is you stopped a draft. You didn't go and throw water over the fire. So it could be that when you've got a bell and you've got a spring on it, so to take your finger off, you're allowing the spring to do what it wanted to do. All that you were doing was just holding the spring in place. But if you take your finger off, you're not switching off the bell. You're letting it return to its original position. Why do I bring that all in? Because most fridges are built that the front is slightly higher than the back. And if the door is open less than 90 degrees, then it will swing closed. So if you've opened your fridge and you now gravity is pulling the door to close, can you let go and let it close on its own? Is it that you're not allowed to close it, or can you let go? Now, Lamaisa, I didn't see in this subject over here people discussing whether you can let go of the door and let it close by itself. Everybody says you may not close it yourself, but to let it go by itself, I want to say, the truth is I should ask a Rob before I pass them this, but I want to say that perhaps it is permissible, just like removing your finger from the bell, or perhaps closing the window when there's a draft coming in, that if just removing yourself from holding the door, your door will swing closed by itself, will be all right. But obviously that only applies if the door has not been opened past that point where it doesn't swing closed already. Depending on the angle of the fridge, sometimes once your door has reached 90 degrees, it's not going to swing closed. It stays open. If it goes a little further than that, it will swing in the opposite direction. So that's number one way to get a guy to do it, is you offer him something that's inside the fridge. He opens it for himself, and then while it's open, you can take out whatever you want. As we said, you can't close it again. If he's still around and he sees that your fridge is open, you can't tell him to close it. But if he closes on his own, there's no problem. There's also another point to take into account, is that even though the food was non-accessible when Shabbos came in, because you were unable to open the fridge because you left the light on, nevertheless, the food inside the fridge does not become mukta. It's not as if like something that was inaccessible with ben hashmoshes becomes mukta. And when it comes to food, we don't say that. And therefore, it is available once you do somehow get access to it. For example, a goy opened it, then that would be permissible. Another way to request from a goy is what we call sipu dvarim ba'alma. And I'm going to take a second off to explain a difference between what we call hinting and what we call direct telling and not indirect telling. To tell a goy to do something has multiple problems. If I can try sum it up, it is like this. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to talk about a malacha. So to tell a goy to do a malacha, in and of itself, is also speech. You may not talk like that on Shabbos. Never mind whether the goy can do it or not. Second of all, you're asking the goy to do something for you, he becomes, so to speak, your shliach, your messenger. So when a goy does something on your behalf, as a result of your request, that's a problem of Amir al-Akum. Now, if I say something beremiza, I just hint something, so I haven't really solved that problem, because as long as I mention a malacha, I've already had a problem with talking about malachas on Shabbos. And also, if I use the expression of go do it, even though I don't say what, the poskim talk about that their candles, the wick would often develop a little like piece of charcoal on the top of the wick and would cause the flame to smoke. So what you did was that you cut the top of the wick off and the candle would carry on burning nicely. You didn't have to extinguish it. While it was burning, you cut it off. So you had a candle like this, which had a little blob of charcoal at the top and was causing a horrible flame. And the goy walked past and you asked him, you tell him, could you please wipe your nose? That was understood as go chop the top of the candle off. So there we say you're actively telling him to do something. You just haven't said the words. You haven't said what the name of the malacha is. You told him to wipe his nose. Wiping your nose is mutter. So you've avoided the problem of saying the malacha, but you've still sent him to do something. That's why a remiza, a hint, is not so simple to say on Shabbos, because you're still sending the guy to do something. A hint might help after Shabbos, or before, or for after Shabbos, because if there's no problem in the speech, and he does, and he's not doing it on Shabbos, so then that would be a case that would be permitted. Now there's a third case that makes things a lot simpler, and that's called Sipur Dvarim Ba'alma. You just tell him a fact. And if he deduces what to do, so then you have to work out what the situation will be. So for example, I'll give two examples. Number one is you're sitting at your Shabbos table and it is pitch black. The power went out and the candles blew out. You're sitting in the pitch black. A goy walks past. You're telling, you know, I'm eating supper now and I can't see my food. I haven't told him a thing. I haven't told him to come, to go to this. But he understands. Why would a Jew come out of his house and stop a goy in the street? Especially he happens to be the local goy shul Shabbos, so he knows that all these Jews talk funny. So he comes into your house and turns everything on. So mitzad amir la'akum, you haven't done anything. Because you haven't told him anything. You haven't told them anything, so he's not your shliach, and you haven't said anything wrong. The problem is that when a goy does a malacha for a Jew, you're not allowed to have an offer from it. So it doesn't help to tell him that I'm sitting in the dark, because if he turns on the light, you can't enjoy the light that he's turned on. But the other way actually does work. What I mean the other way is time to go to sleep, and your light's on in your bedroom. So you stop a goy, and you tell him, listen, I don't sleep when there's light on in my room. And like he thinks, oh, there's light in your room. Comes to your room, turns the light off. There, you're not enjoying what he actively did. He didn't create the dark. He removed the light. So then, in such a case, if you're in a hotel, for example, and you forgot to turn your light off, you can go tell the guy at the front door, you know, there's light in my room. And he says, well, good, there's light in my room. And then the two of you are smiling. But if he's got a bit of brains and he realizes what you're trying to say, he comes upstairs, he turns the light off, that's fine. So too over here, if you tell a goy, you know, I'm a Jew. I don't open fridges that have a light inside. And he thinks, and he says, ah, I'm not a Jew. I do open such fridges. He wants me to come open the fridge. So now comes this question, is, has he done a malacha for you? So it will depend also on whether you need the light in the fridge or not. Because that will be a question of a psik reisha of Amir la'akum, that he's turned on the fridge and now you're enjoying the light. So let us say there's enough light in the room and you don't need the light in the fridge. So really what he's done is he's opened the door and given you access. He hasn't done a malacha. The malacha that he's done is not what you needed. You just needed access to the stuff in the fridge. And that would be a way to get the goy to open the fridge, is if you do what's called sipur dvarim ba'alma. You only tell him a story without giving a request or a command. As long as you haven't asked him to do something, even in bederech remez, even you tell him, you know, I need a door opened in my house, guess which one, or something like that. Or you tell it like the case of the paskim was, you know, go wipe your nose, is go do something. So even though I didn't say the malacha that needs to be done, but I sent him, then he's doing it on my behalf. But here, if I just tell him, so that would be an etzah. So again, we come out with two etzahs of how to get a goy to do it for you. One would be is you offer him to help himself to something in the fridge, and he has a hard time taking things out of the fridge unless he opens the door. So he'll open the door to take it out. He's doing it for himself. He's going to help himself to a cup of Coke. Then you've got the fridge open. Then you can do what you need. As we said, then throw a towel over it so that it doesn't close, so that you don't put the light out. Or the other way would be was to tell him that my fridge is closed and I can't take food out of my fridge. And if he works it out, then there will be another etzah. However, what to do if you don't have a goy is a very complicated situation. There is a discussion that if you do it kila achayad and you close your eyes, I heard this once from Rabbi Choshokin in Yerushalayim, he said that if you close your eyes when you open the fridge, if the only problem would be the light, then if you close your eyes when you open the fridge, so then it's a psikresha de lo nichale, even though you're not opening the fridge to turn on the light, but it's a psikresha and therefore it is also. But a psikresha de lo nichale, that the secondary malacha that takes place is something that you're not interested in, then it drops to a drabonon. So a psikresha de lo nichale, if you close your eyes, so now it becomes a psikresha de lo nichale, that you're not interested in the light. And, or if it's in a very bright room where the light does make a difference. And then you do it with your elbow. So you got a psikresha de la nichle, b'shinui, you got a shvus de shvus. And if this is the only food you have, so then you could open the fridge. It's not a clear cut, heter. I would ask a rav before I do such a thing. It also has to discuss, well, how urgent is it that you need the food if you have nothing else to eat? What happens if you have to eat but you don't have chalas? And is it necessary? It's challah in itself. It's a mitzvah to have challah on Shabbos. But if you have enough food without challah, is that something that is considered that you can open the fridge just to get the mitzvah of challah, the mitzvah of lechem mishneh? So you need to ask a rav in such a situation. There is another discussion, but this is also very problematic. Is you wait till the motor has gone off and nothing is running and you pull the plug out. Now, pulling the plug out is also a problem because the plug is connected to the building and therefore it's soiser. So it depends on whether it's the type of plug that's pulled out and pulled out and put in on a regular basis. And do you have to move the fridge to get hold of the plug? If you have to move the fridge, could be the fridge is mukta. Depends on its size. But it's also very complicated. And lechore, even if you find a way there will be mutter, it's got to be done b'shinui. I don't know how to pull plugs out b'shinui, because if you're not using your fingers, it's going to be very hard to do. And also, that only applies in the old fridges where the only problem is the light and the motor. So when the door's closed, the light and the motor's off. But modern fridges have all sorts of current that is running even when the motor's off and the light's off, but it still has digital thermostats, it has a digital display, it has a computer that's running and checking things, it has a fan on the inside, it might be on no frost mode, so you don't hear the compressor, but it could be that the element is on, and therefore, practically speaking, that is not an etzah to pull the plug out. That might have been an etzah once upon a time. Therefore, if you don't have a goy available and you didn't, and your fridge was not put into Shabbos mode, I would suggest to go ask your local Orthodox rabbi for an etzah on how to get past it. If the bichlal, and every case has to be judged in itself, because of the fact that you have to know how much of a terech mitzvah is involved over here. Okay, that brings us to the end of fridges and ice and all the rest. And with that, we wish everybody a wonderful day and a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Have a great day. Have a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you.